At the G20 summit, a continental rift.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. At the Group of 20 meeting in Pittsburgh, world leaders have agreed on a voting power shift for the International Monetary Fund. The U.S. has been pushing this change, but there is an aspect of the plan that's causing a rift with European leaders this morning. Stephen Beard is following this from our desk in London. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
What is the U.S. plan that's riling European leaders?
Well, the U.S. wants the IMF, the world's main financial body, to better reflect the major changes in the world economy. It wants to give big emerging economies like China and India a seat on the IMF board of directors. And that means potentially taking seats away from Britain and France.
And I'm going to guess the Brits and the French love this idea.
You guessed it. No, it's actually regarded as a bit of a national humiliation. We've got, on the one hand, the British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, who slumped in the opinion polls back home. He's particularly keen on projecting an image as a world statesman. Well, this rather undercuts that image. While President Sarkozy of France, often accused of having a bit of a Napoleon complex on account of his diminutive stature.
Yes.
He likes to walk tall on the world stage. Well, this makes that a little bit more difficult. So this downgrade is a bit of a blow for both of them.
But Stephen, beyond politicians' egos, what is at stake in this?
Well, the IMF has a bigger role now. It's got a much bigger budget than ever before. It's been taking on a bigger role than the traditional one of just bailing countries out that get into trouble. And it's a new role that's been emerging at this G20 summit in Pittsburgh as a sort of global economic monitor, if you like. The G20, replacing the G8 as the main global economic decision-making body, it's proposed that these two working together, the G20 and the IMF, will become the new sort of guardians of the global economy.
Stephen Beard, live in London. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are slightly higher this morning, while Asian markets lost 1% to 2%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 41 points and closed at 9,707. The Commerce Department will set up a new Office of Innovation and Entrepreneurship to help startup companies get financing and get in on government R&D. Commerce Secretary Gary Locke made that announcement yesterday at Inc. Magazine's annual conference in Washington.
This new office will be geared toward the first step in the business cycle, moving an idea from someone's imagination or from a research lab into a business plan.
And yes, there are new companies thriving even in this stalled economy. From the entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
At this week's Inc. 5000 conference, they're celebrating entrepreneurial companies that have continued to expand in spite of the recession. Inc. editor Rod Kurtz.
You hear optimism. They've weathered the storm. And the unique thing about entrepreneurs is that when everyone else is hunkering down, they're out there hiring, trying to drum up new business because they know when everyone else thinks the sky is falling, that's a great opportunity for them.
Many companies on the Inc. list, from insurance to personal fitness, retirement services, and transportation, grew more than 1,000% in 2008.
About 75% of all new jobs in this country are created by small businesses. Keep in mind that most of these companies were founded probably within the past 10 years. These are jobs that literally didn't exist till these companies came along.
Also worth keeping in mind, though, new firms fail at a high rate, and small businesses have been shedding jobs at a rapid pace. So in the short run, it may be tough for entrepreneurs to create enough jobs to lead the way out of recession. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com.
Ford Motor said yesterday it will build an assembly plant in China to make the next generation Focus compact car. Tapping the Asian market is one way the company hopes to grow sales. Another is clever marketing. Reporter Elisa Roth tells us for the Fiesta subcompact, Ford wants to harness the power of the people.
Would this convince you to buy a Fiesta?
I love it. I love that it's just so small. I love the color, especially I like that I chose it's pink. It's connected to my Bluetooth so I can just talk on the phone.
Ford doesn't pay Jill Hanner to say stuff like that. Or not exactly. She gets to drive the car for 6 months for free, gas included. All she and 99 other Fiesta agents have to do is blog, tweet, and post about their vehicles as much as possible. Jolt Katona studies online marketing and social networks at UC Berkeley's Business School. He says there are three big benefits to Ford's campaign.
The first advantage is the targeting and directly reaching those consumers. The second thing is it generates considerable traditional media attention, like we are talking about now. And this is also kind of a market research tool.
Because like the rest of the world, Ford can read and watch everything the agents post. And as Hannah told me when we were driving in her car, Ford can watch her drive, too.
There's a tracking system on the car, so they always know where we are. And when we enter in our...
So they're following you around.
They are. I try not to think that they're sitting at their desks every, you know, 2 seconds and like, little, where's Jill's car?
In spite of that, or maybe because of it, just about everything the agents say about the cars, online and in person, seems to be relentlessly positive. Katona says that doesn't matter.
The logic goes, the person can say anything, so it's more credible. You can also say that it's more risky, but I think it's more about credibility.
Or credible because it's risky. Somebody could say they hate the car, but an agent could also get drunk and drive into a tree. Katona says the real risk is that Ford's not telling the truth, that the agents aren't really free. If that were true and the public found out, that would really undermine the credibility. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, the Hawaiian island of Kauai is hoping for a tourism boost from the 50th anniversary of the movie South Pacific. This weekend, a new resort opens on the spot where Emile serenaded Nellie on Some Enchanted Evening. And next weekend, the original Nellie returns to the Garden Isle. Mitzi Gaynor will perform at the Kauai Marriott, still shampooing after 50 years.
I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a good Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.